You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And I'm going to wager a guess that our guest, John Tatey, is being tested right now with a theme song from a game show unbeknownst to
myself.
Tested
quite viciously.
This is a tough one.
Can you give me a hint?
This ran from 85 to 86. It was just a one-year show.
Oof.
The host of the show, I think, hosted something much more popular and left to take on this show, which he also executive produced.
Wow. The host of the show left to do something much more. Another game show?
He left another game show.
Is it Woolery? Chuck Woolery?
No, it was hosted by Wink Martindale.
Oh. Hmm. Is it Wink Martindale? It's not Break the Bank, is it?
The show's theme song that I just played is Headline Chasers, and the show he was hosting at the time was Tic-Tac-Doe.
Sure. Tic-Tac-Doe was on for a while. I don't really know Headline Chasers.
Yeah, it only aired for one season. It wasn't terribly popular. So this was
not
a tough one, yeah. I'll give you something easier next time.
Yeah, you've stumped me a few times in a row, Craig.
Well, this is
more and more obscure.
Yeah.
You know, I was just talking. Can we talk about game shows for a second?
No, not at all.
On my lunch break, I've been watching YouTube uploads of Scrabble episodes from This is why Chuck Woolery was on my mind, Craig. Now, this is one of the great game shows of the 80s that you never see in reruns on Game Show Network or what have you. I don't know if there are maybe rights issues with the Scrabble brand, but this is one of the best game shows of the 80s that really hasn't been rerun since USA was showing it in the 90s. I've been watching some. This has some of the best writing I've ever seen on a game show.
Now, when you say it has some of the best writing, that's not the questions? Or
yeah,
the
game revolved around crossword clues. So there would be these pithy little clues to words on the board, and then people would place letters one at a time to try to figure it out. And the writing was really funny and clever, and Chuck Woolery, the host, got to have some fun with it. And I don't know, if you're looking for some time to kill, just search for Scrabble Game Show on YouTube and watch a couple. It's a really good show.
All right. That sounds like, was it a celebrity also sort of influence to it or aspect to it, or was it just contestants?
No celebrities, just
no celebrities,
contestants.
Okay.
They did sometimes have theme weeks, like they had a game show host week where all game show hosts played. That's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, that's a blast to watch. But no, it was usually just contestants. And this show had some of the best contestant coordinators too, because, you know, there's producers who find the right contestants, and they're not just looking for skill, they're looking for personality and telegenic people. And there's really a difference between this show and like the Mark Goodson shows, like The Price is Right, would try to find your everyman, maybe your enthusiastic everyman and every woman. And Scrabble sort of went for smart, slightly off, like weird people who had some strange talent or just something weird in their personality. And it makes a lot of fun to watch. There's a little people watching aspect to it as well.
So was there an effort to relaunch the show in 2002? Because it looks like there was a Scrabble Challenge game show pilot in 2002.
That was something
different.
With John
O'Hurley.
That was something different. They did relaunch the Chuck Woolery Scrabble briefly in the mid-90s, but I think it only lasted for one season and it's come back. It was really an 80s show.
Okay. And by the way, speaking of contestants and the producers
yes.
that wrangle the contestants, what is going on with Jeopardy and no more Canadian contestants?
There's,
did you hear about this?
Yes, there's some sort of, we reported on this in the AV Club actually, and it did like huge traffic. People were apparently very concerned about
this. It's weird.
But there's some sort of legal hitch right now, and I think it's like a privacy issue. It's something strange that you wouldn't expect, but there's some sort of legal hitch right now, and they cannot have Canadian contestants on Jeopardy, which is ironic. I'm sure you've seen in the reports, because
yes.
Alex Trebek is himself Canadian. Quite proudly so, but apparently they're working on it.
Almost pompously so.
Well,
a little bit.
Alex
Trebek that's not everything.
About
yes,
everything
that's
now.
Correct, yeah.
But Alex, you know, Alex is an interesting
he's a likable pomp.
In terms of, he is a likable pomp, and he's, more than any other host, he really fit his approach to the show. Now, we all know him from Jeopardy now, but he hosted, in the 70s, he hosted a show called High Rollers, which was, it incorporated trivia, but a lot of dice rolls, really sort of silly and flashy and gaudy, and he was much looser and jokier on that show. He also hosted this strange show for one season, this Goodson show called Double Dare, nothing to do with the Nickelodeon show.
I was going to say.
And
is that what we get, like, big buckets of goop dumped on it?
That's the Nickelodeon one. This Double Dare predates that and had nothing to do with that. And again, he was, if you watch that, you see sort of just a looser, more congenial Alex than you see on the more rigid Jeopardy. And I really admire that about him, that he could shift his style.
He's
to
malleable
suit the show.
Depending on the tone. Interesting. I don't watch that much. By the way, before we go to a break, I do want to mention we have a message from firefighter Todd Chuchuk in regards to the storm, the impending storm that we have tomorrow. He hates to ask, but you know what? Actually, this is a public service announcement. If you could throw it out there, please keep your hydrants clear of the snow because it will slow response time drastically if they have to try to shovel and try to find a hydrant in the case of a fire, obviously. So if you're out shoveling tomorrow, please also keep in mind to make sure that your fire hydrants on your block is clear as well.
And don't shovel the snow because I think sometimes you absentmindedly just sort of heave the snow wherever.
Onto the fire hydrant.
Don't shovel it onto the fire hydrant. Yeah.
And this might actually be more pertinent to the suburbs than it is to the city. But yeah, if you guys get a chance when you're out there shoveling tomorrow, please try to make sure that your fire hydrant is also clear. We never even think of that.
No, yeah.
I can't believe Todd Chuchuk's like, I'm sorry to ask. No, that actually seems like perfect information to have.
That's a great PSA. Thank you.
Yes.
Bit my tongue.
Please keep your hydrant because God forbid something goes wrong. You want your firemen to be out there as quickly as possible and have access to the hydrants.
And I think people maybe don't even think about the potential for fire in a snowstorm.
And it happens, of course.
Yeah, you got downed power lines. Mm-hmm. You've got, pipes burst. And all sorts of mayhem.
Electrical fires.
Now, before
listen
we go to the break.
Listen to us imagining disasters.
Sorry, everybody. Craig. There's going to be plenty of them tomorrow.
Yeah, before we go to the break, can we try one more theme song?
Okay. Oh, this is an easy one.
Wow.
Am I wrong? It seems
I'm going to gong you right
it's
now.
It's totally.
Oh, nice. Gong you off the stage.
He's answering the question.
It's totally like it seems from the 1920s, a little of a Charleston.
Sure, yeah. There's a touch of vaudeville to it. Yeah, that is the Gong Show. Chuck Barris is perhaps his greatest creation, I think, the Gong Show. Chuck Barris was responsible for the dating
game. Ever go away, the Gong Show?
I think.
That seems like but something that should have lasted.
That's a show that could not work in the YouTube era because part of the premise of that show is how ludicrous it was that these untalented or semi-talented people were being broadcast on national television.
Which America's Got Talent kind of does that to some extent,
But America's Got Talent is aspirational.
That's true.
And it really plays up the bigness of the stage, whereas The Gong Show was all about how seedy and
intimate. Would it actually be more similar to Neil Patrick Harris's show?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because he would broadcast people from their living rooms.
What?
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris. That show's not coming back, is it? Is that canceled?
No, that show bombed.
Yeah,
hard.
It was terrible.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he would broadcast people from their living room, and they'd try to win a prize. It's great. Oh.
I did not know about that.
Uh-huh.
We are hanging out with the chief editor of the AV Club. If you have a question about anything that you think John might be able to answer, I'm not sure. There's plenty of things knows. He knows so many things. I'm not saying like algebra problems or physics questions or string theory or something like that.
I could do algebra, sure.
All right, then fine. So find out what X equals when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio with the editor-in-chief.
Was that another theme? Was that another test, or was
just
nice
fun
music? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I like that.
John Tatey joins us. We were talking about bathing babies and going to swimming pools with your baby for the first time, so I highly encourage that when you have a chance. We went to the Lincoln Wood Pool, and it was so much fun. You know what's weird? Have you had this yet? I don't know how often you're out with the baby, but do you guys have parents like coming up to you and sort of trying to bond with you and make friends? This is a weird thing that will happen later on.
This happened after only a few days.
Yeah.
Like we were at the doctor's office and he was crying a little bit and this mother came up with her two beautiful kids, a little older obviously than Leo was, and said, "Here's how you hold him to get him to stop crying." And she went through all this, and I'd actually seen what she was talking about in a YouTube video, and I said, oh, that's the YouTube hold, and she was thrilled that I knew it, and
right.
We did immediately bond over that, and I kind of like this, Patty. I kind of like how there's a...
It's a cult of parenthood.
Before I had kids, I was like, oh, those parents, those rotten parents are so annoying. Mm-hmm. Now I love parents.
Yep.
I like that there's this built-in community of shared understanding of the miseries and joys
yes.
of having a kid.
I had a woman give me her information. I was at a Marshall's in, like, I want to say, I can't, Mount Prospect, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the one that told me about this class, the swimming pool class, like outdoor pool, moms and tots experience. And I haven't spoken to her since, but it was just so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds
You'll funny. Run into parents on the playground, at stores and doctor's offices, things like that. It's very strange.
Do you think that's a... I guess I was a little surprised by it. And I'll say I wondered if it would happen if I were still in New York. Or do you think
Ooh.
Maybe it's sort of a Midwest
Interesting question.
Friendliness?
Yeah.
Thing?
Well, I don't think we'll ever know.
Well, because I definitely find that people are, you know, friendlier in general here. But I wonder, people keep more to themselves in New York, in my experience.
There
but
seems
I also
to be more
didn't...
of a nanny system in New York, too.
Yeah,
there seems
yeah.
to be much more of a babysitter taking them to the playground kind
right.
of going on. Everyone's a little bit, because it costs more to live there, so you have less people who have less free time to be out and
yeah.
about with their babies. I think. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
Yeah, because here, yeah, parents want to, they want to bond, and they also, this will be the fun part, too, is when you go out to dinner, and people see you come in with a baby, and they all have this look on their face like, please not near me, please not near me.
Yeah.
You know, when you get on a plane, oh, no. Yes.
Anna's mother was in town for the birth and for a month after. It was great. And a couple weeks in, she said, you guys need to go out and have a date night. You need to get away from the baby for a couple hours. We were like, yes, you're right. But you just don't think, like, your
just
weird
mind to
is
leave.
So focused on the baby.
Yes.
But we did go out for a night at, I'll mention the restaurant because we like it a lot, Gather in mm-hmm. Lincoln Square is excellent. And we sit down, and honest to God, Patty, the next table over, there's this couple with a baby that is about, looks like she's 3 weeks old, maybe.
Right.
And I just said to Anna, well, we can't really escape it, can we?
No.
But, you know, she was well-behaved. And
right.
We
well, you can't feel
still.
Bad that you didn't bring your baby.
No.
See, we could have brought the baby. No.
For a second, I did. And then I was like, that's crazy.
No.
No.
No, 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 no. Enjoy all of it. I mean, and I'm not one of those moms that was like, oh, I miss when they were this and I miss when they were that. I mean, like once in a while you have the pangs of that.
Mm-hmm.
Every single age. Griffin continues to astound me. Declan is starting to look at me with a look of like, you know, he's got my son who has special needs has this look of like, where are you going? Why aren't you hanging out with me? Come down on the floor and cuddle with me.
Mm.
And, you know, Griffin is, Griffin's very political. I know we are coming up to the top of the hour, but we were talking off the air a little bit about your baby being born at this very bizarre political atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's a sort of a strange time because John Craig, by the way, was mentioning how he had come in early on during Trump's candidacy and poo-pooed it in a way that I believe Professor Paul Green did, and a cartoonist and political editor for the Chicago political cartoonist for the Tribune also was like, guy's not going to last.
Yeah.
I believe you may have also thought he wasn't going to go
the
distance.
I said, I was on this show and I said, Patty, we are still in silly season here. I think that people are just doing this for entertainment. So just supporting Trump out for entertainment. And you have come to mind. And every time Trump racks up another win, I'm like, well, Patty was right about that one.
I don't like being right. But we've listened to a lot of the comments that callers have made, both talking to us on the show. They've texted us. It really... seems to be that people feel disenfranchised. And I, for whatever reason, this seems to be the person that I guess is going to franchise them or enfranchise them.
I mean,
I'm not sure.
What's there? I noticed this thing watching CNN. I watched the results on CNN. I think they have the best pundits and the best anchors. They're not perfect, but I do think as far as the cable news nets are concerned, they have the best talent. But they color code their maps so idiotically. Like for the Republican caucus, everybody gets a different shade of red on the map.
Because right.
the red, you know, it's red versus blue. And so you can hardly tell who's winning county by county because everybody has pretty much the same color. And I thought they're so committed to this red versus blue narrative that has hung over politics
yes.
for the past, you know, almost 20 years now, that they're even interfering with their own ability to convey information to stick to it. And what strikes me about it is how it doesn't really seem to be a good fit for this election, because the story is not red versus blue. It's really what you're saying, this sort of insurgent anti-establishment energy that has been talked about in past presidential elections, but is now really coming to
somehow manifested in the form of Donald Trump, which is surprising, I think.
And Bernie Sanders.
And Bernie Sanders, I agree. There's a people who feel like, yes, I want a revolution. I want change. I want free education. With Donald Trump, we want to close our borders. We want to keep Muslims out. There are things that speak to the core of what many Americans believe, and we get to go, I didn't realize that. Let's figure out a different way to have a conversation with each other rather than yelling and being red and blue.
Well, and that's the only...
Let me take a break here. Because otherwise we can keep going, and Craig's like, I just said go. All right, let's go.